Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
Back in 2005, Congress passed what's called the Stolen Valor Act. It was signed by President George W. It called for a possible one-year prison sentence. And what this was, it was kind of a reaction under the belief that you degrade the value of the medals. You degrade the honor of the people who have actually earned those medals and what they did in the form of military service. So along comes a guy by the name of Xavier Alvarez, a former member of this water district, and he had claimed that he was a former Marine, he was a recipient of the Medal of Honor. There were a whole host of things that he put on the table that weren't true. And he wound up getting prosecuted under the Stolen Valor Act. And today, there was a Supreme Court decision on that. Jonathan Libby is a deputy federal public defender. He represented, He represented Xavier Alvarez. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I just get you in here before I just mumble anymore.
You know.
Oh, man. So Xavier, I mean, he made other claims other than besides being a Marine and the recipient of the Medal of Honor, did he not?
He lied about a whole host of things. He claimed he had played hockey for the Detroit Red Wings, that he had been married to a Mexican starlet, that he had saved the American ambassador during the Iranian hostage crisis. So he had lied about a whole bunch of things.
Why do you think the Department of Justice picked him out to prosecute?
You know, that's a very good question. He was one of the first people charged under the law. It may be that because he was a public official at the time, or, you know, he just may have been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
So he was convicted, and then that conviction was appealed to the Ninth Circuit.
That's right. And the Ninth Circuit ruled that the statute was unconstitutional.
And so the DOJ decided, let's take this to the Supremes.
That they did.
So you spoke before the Supreme Court. What was your argument? What did you present in the way of what was so persuasive?
Well, what we argued and what the court essentially ruled today is that the government doesn't get to decide as a general matter what people can and cannot say, and that while it may not be a good thing to lie, that unless it has a harmful effect on an individual or on the government, then, you know, the government doesn't get to prosecute you and say that you can't say it.
So today, because this has been kind of lost, the decision by the Supreme Court today with the Health Care Reform Act, they tossed the Stolen Valor Act out on its ear.
They did. They said, you know, it completely violates the free speech clause of the First Amendment on its face and that it can no longer stand.
One of the things that was struck or that struck me, and I don't know which of the judges spoke to it, but they talked about how his lies, his fabrications were not designed to gain anything monetarily. It wasn't to get him a job. Do you get a sense that if it had been used in that vein, perhaps the decision would have been different?
I'm not sure that the decision would have necessarily been different. Because there was no requirement in the law that one had to gain anything of value. So there was no requirement that fraud be actually done here. So the law, the result probably would have been the same. But I think it made it very clear to the justices that, look, here's an example of where someone, in fact, gained nothing specifically from making this false claim.
I was just, because when I read that, when they talked about, okay, look, he didn't do this to get a job. He didn't do this to make money. He didn't do this to get, you know, privileges, to get, you know, free drinks at the bar or, you know, be admitted to an exclusive country club or anything. And I just, because, you know, you got to wonder, because I don't think the Supreme Court justices stuff in there just for rhetoric. And I'm wondering if that was an indication that, you know, maybe this could have been seen differently, but you think not, huh?
I don't think so. You know, there was just a serious problem with the law as written because, you know, it could apply to anyone who simply lied. And you know, the one point that the court did make is that it doesn't matter if somebody was screaming this from the rooftops or saying it very quietly to a family member in the privacy of their home. you know, and that the government doesn't get to invade the privacy of the home when it comes to, you know, just telling a simple lie.
What did your client think of all of this? What's been his reaction all along?
You know, well, I mean, from the very beginning, I mean, since he was prosecuted, he's been very remorseful, and he has apologized for making his statements. You know, this is someone who just loved the military so much that he wanted to be a part of it, even if he wasn't actually a member of the military. So, you know, he knows it was wrong, and he's apologized. He's certainly he's pleased with this morning's decision.
I think the Red Wings should sue him.
And maybe they will.
You know, hey, look, they got nothing else going. The Stanley Cup went someplace else. I mean, maybe they could dump this on his lap.
Could be.
So I take it he has he mended his ways, if I can be gentle with the question?
Well, look, as a result of this false claim, you know, he's been completely attacked. In the media, he's been attacked in his neighborhood. His reputation has been completely destroyed. And that's another thing that the court talked about in the decision. You know, that's the way it's supposed to work, that when someone lies about something, more speech is the way you deal with it. You expose them for what they are, and that's how it's supposed to work under our system.
All right, Jonathan Libby, the deputy federal public defender who adequately and wholeheartedly won a Supreme Court decision on behalf of Xavier Alvarez. And I thank you very much for your time today. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Good talking with you.
You too. Take care.
All right. I want to put this out to you because this got a lot of attention. I remember John and I were still doing the commentators together when all of this hit. And as you might expect, we were, you know, at opposite ends of the spectrum on this. I did not see, nor could I believe, that someone would be charged with a crime for a contemptible but rather innocuous lie. I mean, yeah, telling people that you were a Marine who won the Medal of Honor, you really have to be a doofus to try to pump yourself up in the eyes of others. And that's all this guy was doing. He wanted this extra measure of respect. He wanted people to look up to him and to, you know, sort of revere what he's done. But, you know, and one of the justices, again, I wish I remembered his name, made reference to the Ministry of Truth. Remember that in George Orwell's 1984, they had the Ministry of Truth? That's what this reminded me of. This is definitely the decision that was supposed to have been reached. But I want to ask you, do you think the Supreme Court in this instance came up with the right decision, basically throwing out the Stolen Valor Act? So they're saying, hey, look, you want to lie about being a Medal of Honor recipient? You want to lie about having saved 16 of your buddies over in Afghanistan? Go ahead, and we'll just hope that somebody finds your lie out. 206-421-1000, 877-397-COMO. Or do you think that the Supreme Court should have gone the other way on this? That it is so disgraceful and demeaning to the honor of people who have actually won these medals, do you think it should have stood?
What happens next happens on the Como Afternoon News today at 3. Now, Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
So, you know, here's what I think we ought to do. Yes, I do want to hear from those of you who are already on the line here, going to talk about this Stolen Valor Act decision that was handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court today. But let's just open it up. I mean, let's just go with either the health care decision by the Supreme Court today or the Stolen Valor Act decision that was handed down by the Supreme Court today. So we're going to put both of them together, whatever one you want to address, whether you're happy, dissatisfied, depressed, angry, whatever the case may be, we'll go with the Supreme Court decisions today, both of them. We'll do that. 206-421-1000. 877-397-COMO. That's the toll-free line for you. John, the mailman out there in Bellevue. How are you doing, John?
Hey, Ken. Hey, tell Robin I saw our IRS agents breaking a door down with their guns drawn. So she's all right.
I'm telling you, that woman was about half a bubble off.
I don't believe that man who faked the medals should have been prosecuted. But I'm still stunned in my life at how many shameful things are kind of half-heartedly excused away. Well, it's the right to the First Amendment. You know, they said he apologized. I would have made him go to the VFW and apologize to the guys at the VFW.
And I think he may have done that.
Shameful.
No, look, I agree with you. I think that trying to present yourself, and I think at some level it does steal something away from people who have, you know, whose bravery and devotion to duty and the people that they serve with in the military, who are awarded special recognition, you know, be it the, you know, the Medal of Honor or the Bronze Star or the Silver Star, whatever it may be. I think it's despicable. I think it's contemptible, but it's not prosecutable.
I agree.
All right.
Have a good day.
All right. You too, John. It's 206-421-1000. We have a local line for you if you want to get in on this. We're talking about the defense, the Stolen Valor Act, or the Supreme Court decision on health care. Both of them down today. Adam, West Seattle, you're up on Newsline PM.
Hey, Ken. So I'm a veteran, and I just have a question that, you know, I've filled out a lot of applications that say, you know, have you ever received the Purple Heart, or are you a veteran, or are you disabled, or, you know, can you get still charged with perjury for putting that down and trying to gain something for your military service, or is that all out the window now?
No, because I specifically asked the lawyer, the attorney about that, who represented this Alvarez, that if there was something of value at play. And the reason I asked him about that was because one of the members of the Supreme Court had said, look, you know, that this wasn't anything that was going to secure him employment or financial benefit or, you know, entrance to the exclusive country club. And it seemed to me as if maybe there was some deeper thought there. But he said, no, he didn't think so. And I don't think when you fill out a job application, Adam, it's not perjury. I mean, people lie on their job applications all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You just don't want to get caught. That's all.
So if Alvarez was trying to gain a political position or some sort of fancy country club membership, he could be in trouble or no?
No. The Supreme Court has said, look, this is a protected free speech First Amendment issue. Now, here's what I would say. If someone came up to me and said, yeah, man, I was in the Marines. I saved the lives of 7 people in Afghanistan, and I'm one of the few members who hasn't received the Medal of Honor posthumously. I would go immediately to the web. You can look up. I mean, it's not like the Medal of Honor has been handed out 10,000 times. You can
look at his discharge papers. It's a really easy way.
it's really easy to find out when people start lying about that. So,
All right.
Thanks, Adam. All right. 206-421-1000. You can pick either the Stolen Valor Act or the health care, whichever one you want to talk about right now. Nick, out there on a cell phone, you're up on Newsline PM.
Yeah, hi, Ken. I'm a disabled person, and I think they ought to put more than just a year in prison. I would love to join the military, but due to my disability, I can't. And it makes me mad when people go out there and fake it. And I just think that they ought to bring it back and give him a longer sentence in
jail.
Nick,
he didn't get any jail time.
I know. That's what I'm saying. He should have.
He
should have been put in there. Because people like me that want to join, that would be honored to join, you know, and if I go around lying about it, oh, yeah, I served in the military, they're going to look at me like you're a jerk.
Well, you could tell them that your disability is a result of your military service. I appreciate your call, Nick. I disagree with whether or not this is a prosecutable thing. I say no. I think the Supreme Court made the right decision. More of your thoughts, more of your calls. Hang with us.
You've heard what's happening. Now, find out what it means to you. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
All right, take your pick. Supreme Court decision on the Stolen Valor Act or the Supreme Court decision on health care. Kevin, you're up on Newsline PM.
Hey there, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say, you know, thank God it's about time this fiasco is over. You know, we were the last major Western country in the world with our healthcare system the way it was, and we never would have had that or R67 here if the health insurance companies hadn't been taking the piss and literally killing people with delaying and denying claims over the years. It's just horrifying that it took this long, and I mean, you see the rabid GOP still try to fight this as much as they can, but people are never going to want to go back to pre-existing conditions and all the other horrifying, you know, things that went with that. It's just shocking.
You sound like you're a happy puppy today.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And some funny for you before I go. I'll try to email you this link. There's a bunch of people, let's say, not too smart Midwestern voters who are tweeting that, oh, they're upset with the rulings. They're going to move to Canada. I guess they forgot about Canada's healthcare system.
Thank you. I'll look for that, Kevin. Thanks, man.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. You too. 206-421-1000, 877-397-COMO. Let's see if we can do – what do we got left, Deputy? Okay, we can try. We'll sneak one more in here. Dave in Kirkland, you're up.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I just wanted to drop my two cents in on this whole Medal of Honor or Medal of Valor thing, that if somebody wants to say that they've been in the military, that they've won all these awards, maybe the punishment should be to sign them on up, send them to boot camp. If they can talk the talk, they need to walk the walk.
Trust me, I don't think you'd want this guy in the military, Dave. I think he's got more problems than just claiming to have been a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. Thanks for the call, though. Hey, we're going to continue this. Take your pick. Supreme Court health care, Supreme Court Stolen Valor Act, 206-421-1000. Hang with us here.
COMO News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
All right, you pick Supreme Court and health care decision or Supreme Court and Stolen Valor Act decision. 206-421-1000, 877-397-COMO. That's 877-397-5666. Reading some of the comments on my Facebook page. I had posted that picture that I was talking about earlier, in case you missed that. You'll remember a famous photograph of Harry Truman in the Chicago Tribune holding up a front page headline that says, Dewey beats Truman. And obviously that was wrong. What they've done is they have photoshopped a picture of Obama holding an iPad in kind of the same position with the CNN headline on the iPad that reads, Mandate Overturned, which obviously was wrong. Later on, I'll share if I can. Or go to my Facebook page. You can read the comments as well as having them read them to you. Just go to Facebook / Ken Schramm. But like I said, right now, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to voice your opinion on? The Supreme Court decision in health care, the Supreme Court decision in the Stolen Valor Act. Are you ticked, elated, depressed? Can't wait for the president to be reelected. Can't wait for him to be voted out of office. What is it? Mike in Seattle, you're up on Newsline PM there, buddy.
Yeah, hi.
Hi there.
I was just calling to talk about kind of the Stolen Valor Act and the awards type thing, period. And my opinion is I believe there should be some kind of consequence to it. Not necessarily jail time or nothing like that. Maybe a fine of some kind if caught. Reason being is because the people that get these awards or they go and they do these types of jobs in the military, they do it for the recognition. They do it for the, you know, if something does happen, they get hurt, whatever. They get those kinds of, you know, awards or recognition. And if everyone starts lying about it and not getting in trouble, it almost devalues the people that have actually done it.
See, and I don't think it does devalue, Mike. I really don't. And where would you draw the line? The guy lied. Okay, so he lied about military service, and he lied about the military medals that he received. He lied about being a Red Wings hockey player. Where do you draw the line when you prosecute someone for lying?
That's definitely going to be probably the harder part about trying to do that. Yeah. I really don't know. I mean, I think military or anything of that nature, anyone who served the country, military type things, should definitely not go without someone noticing and saying something if caught.
Well, I guess we, you know, because if I agreed with you, then I think we'd both be wrong.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
No, I know. We can just agree to disagree. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. I think the Supreme Court made the right call on this one. I mean, I could go out tomorrow and say, you know, when I was 22 years old, I saved 7 people from a burning house. I ran in and, you know, through smoke and flame and rescued, you know, 2 little babies and a couple of adults and a grandma. And I, by the way, I also grabbed the kittens when I was running out. You know, should I be prosecuted for that? And that may be a bad comparison because I know some people think that the line about military medals devalues the medals or the heroism of those who receive them. I don't see that. I just don't see that. 206-421-1000. Let's go to Jim in Seattle. You're up.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, is John Carlson still under sedation because of the health care ruling this morning?
No, but we did take him off his medication. Is John under sedation? No, John's not under sedation. Brian on Camano Island, you're up. Newsline PM.
Hey, Ken, I want to talk about the healthcare situation. And I think that we need the healthcare. A lot of people do. You shouldn't have to choose between a house payment and, you know, medical bills. So how do the Canadians do it? Everybody up there has healthcare, and they get taxed for it.
So, well, and they and actually they do it. I think they do it rather badly, to be honest with you.
Do they? I don't know enough about it, so I'm asking.
Well, there's. I'll tell you what. They have universal health care, but those. It's like from the George Orwell's Animal Farm. All pigs are equal, but there are some pigs who are more equal than others. And so you have people who can afford it. They will go out and buy supplemental insurance that goes with their universal health care, and it gives them the opportunity then to get to see a doctor faster, to not have operations postponed for months. So there's always ways around it. What we're doing, and I appreciate your call, what we're doing here I think is very different than that. It's not universal health care. We're still going through private insurance companies for the most part to get our insurance coverage. 206-421-1000, take your pick, the U.S. Supreme Court on health care or the U.S. Supreme Court on the Defense of Valor, the Stolen Valor Act. Antonio in Kingston, you're up, buddy.
They give the Medal of Honor to people who don't want it necessarily, who didn't think that they want to get the Medal of Honor, so I'm going to go save this guy who's getting shot at. I'm not going to go get shot and die saving all of these people. You're taking away that from them by allowing people to go and say, I got the Medal of Honor for doing this.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Antonio. And here's what I will say. Most Medal of Honors are awarded posthumously. Now, we awarded the Medal of Honor to someone in Afghanistan here, I think it was maybe a year ago. And you're right. This was a young man who did not think he deserved the Medal of Honor. But because someone in a warped sense of misplaced, you know, egotism believes that they can get away with lying about it, I don't think that that detracts from the people who gave their lives or exhibited enormous bravery to rescue their fellow soldiers or Marines. I don't think that that takes away from them. And I think the danger.
Also, I believe it is a felony to be in possession of a Medal of Honor if you aren't the recipient or the descendant of one.
I think it's against the law to display a Medal of Honor if you didn't earn it. But that's different than lying about it. I see what you mean. I really do. Let's get out here. We'll try Meg on a cell phone. You're up, Meg. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Hey, you know, we pay taxes for our roads. We pay taxes for the police and the fire and safe water. And why not pay taxes to have medical insurance? I mean, if everybody chips in, it's all going to be cheaper. Everybody chips in for the roads. That's the only way we can afford to have roads. I really don't see the big deal. I really, really don't.
So you are...
I pay like $350 a month. I'm single. I own my own business. And I'm taking a little bit of a reduced insurance. I would love to have the insurance, but I can't afford the $550 a month insurance.
Well, you may find, because you need to look into this a little bit more, because there are small business provisions within this health care law that might dramatically impact not just your insurance, but those of the people that you hire in your small business there. And I will encourage you, Meg, to get in there and kind of dig around in it and find out what is available for you. Eva on a cell phone, you're up on Newsline PM.
The only thing I was going to say, and I'm probably speaking for a lot of people when I talk about the guy that was the Medal of Valor, the Medal of Honor, for a lack of better words, I'd just like to call him a punk, because that's just, my dad got honors, and he got medals, and I just think that guy was a punk.
Oh, I'd love to call him much worse than that, and I can think of words that would certainly apply to him, and I agree with you, but the question is, should it be a crime? No, at least in my opinion, and obviously the decision by the Supreme Court today, it should not be a crime. We shouldn't have, we should not have the Ministry of Truth established by the federal government to determine, you know, whether or not you're going to go to jail for telling a lie. And that's what this guy did. It was despicable. It was deplorable. I think he's much worse than what you would call a punk. I think it was contemptible. But I don't think it rises to the level of sending someone to prison. I just don't. And I think the Supreme Court, it obviously in both instances, in my opinion, I think the Supreme Court got both of them right. Hang with us. Newsline PM continues.
Time to discuss, dissect, and debate the news. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Change up coming at you. Yeah, we've spent so much time talking about Supreme Court decisions today. We're going to switch up because there's a new study out that says, you know what? If the tolls that are being talked about are put into effect regarding the Highway 99 revision that's going to be coming up with the tunnel and everything, that it's estimated some 9,100 cars a day would get off the viaduct, get off there, and make their way through Seattle downtown during the afternoon commute. The state's between a rock and a hard place here. They got to come up with the money to pay for the project. That's the only way to pay for the project. If they don't set an adequate toll to pay for the project doesn't get paid for. And if they set the toll, then the cars are going to get off and just clog downtown streets. Maude Dodon. How did I do it well again?
You did beautifully.
Maude Dodon.
You just can't laugh
I know,
at me.
I know. Well, no, because I feel good about it. I feel so good that I'm so proficient at saying your name.
You are. You're getting super good at it.
Hey, I appreciate talking to you.
Mm,
so now you're involved with this, are you?
I am.
Oh,
yes.
Boy, you just go from one hot spot to the other, don't you? You are just a glutton for whatever punishment is out there.
Hey, I love our region. That's what it's all about.
So Maude is the co-chair of the Toll Advisory Committee. Maude, by the way, was also on the Citizens Committee looking at the new arena. Which, you know what, Maude? Here's the deal. Don't worry about the 9,100 cars spilling out into downtown. You can just blame it on the new arena. Hey, all that traffic ain't coming out of there because of the tolls. It's the arena.
Fortunately, there's absolutely no relationship between.
I know that. I'm just, you know. So, the problem here is, and I think I hit on it correctly, that if the proper toll isn't authorized and collected, you're not going to pay for the project. And the other problem there is that if you put those tolls on there, you run the risk of thousands of cars clogging downtown streets.
Well, I think we're really early in this process. And actually, right now, we haven't even seen the revenue side of the equation. So I think I'm an optimist, but I always believe that there's a way through all these things. And our goal as a committee is to try to maximize the revenue, of course, but also minimize the diversion because you don't want to clog up your city. So the committee yesterday afternoon had a great discussion about this. And I think there were lots of ideas thrown out about how to address this. By the way, the 9,100 number comes from the absolute worst case that was run. It's the highest toll at the peak afternoon hours. So there are other scenarios that were run that had a lower diversion rate.
Okay, so let's cut it in half. Let's say it's only 4,500. That's still,
not great.
It's still not great.
Great. That's not our goal, is to divert a bunch of traffic. But there are tools that you can use, like changing the toll rates more frequently to try to, to adjust to traffic flows that can help you. I mean, this is certainly not my area of expertise, although I'm learning a lot as I go through this process. And this was really the first time we've looked at detailed modeling off of the new regional model. And so I think, it's way too early to draw conclusions one way or the other.
But we here's what we do know, that there's no escaping the fact that there's going to have to be tolls, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the legislative package.
Okay,
yeah.
So we have to have tolls. The tolls have not been set, but we're probably looking, what, $3.50, $4, something like that?
The highest toll rate that we looked at during the peak was $3.50, I believe, from yesterday's analysis.
Well, okay. And so at $3.50, you start wondering, okay, what amount of money will keep people on there in order to continue traveling without having to get caught up in traffic? For me, I'd pay $5.
Well,
I'd pay 10.
Come use the tunnel. Maybe
I'd
we
pay
need 10. Bother you.
I'd pay 10, man. But for a lot of people, the consideration really does become, look, I use this, you know, twice a day, 5 days a week. I don't know if I can afford $150 a month in tolls.
Right. So some of the issues that came up yesterday are, you know, are there models elsewhere in the country that have, you know, is there a discounted pricing model for people who may have lower incomes? Are there prices that, are there places that have, you know, structures in place that allow for tolling to, as I said earlier, to drop during certain times of the day so that you get more people to flow that direction? I mean, honestly, it's, again, this is a journey, and we don't have to have an answer as a committee about this for quite a while, at least 6 months, possibly longer. So, you know, it's like watching sausage be made. You're just seeing it in process right now.
So what factors, so you're kind of in the exploratory stage here thinking, okay, let's look at what we can find that may help, excuse me, mitigate the circumstances as we know them then?
Mm-hmm, exactly. You know, the goal of the committee is to try to minimize the diversion and make sure that we have a really, you know, there's a bunch of standards and guiding principles we adopted as a committee early on about how we're trying to look at these alternatives. And it's a balancing act between, you know, gaining the revenues and also making sure you've got traffic flow. But you also don't want to have, you know, wall-to-wall cars in your city all day. So you've got to figure out ways to divert traffic to new corridors, et cetera.
Well,
it's a complicated. Thank goodness we have some really great transportation planning folks on the committee. We also have, of course, the benefit of WSDOT staff and city staff.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll keep our fingers crossed for you. That's Maude Dodon, who's the co-chair of the Toll Advisory Committee and a civic star.
Jeez, thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Maude.
Okay,
hang with
care.
Us. Newsline PM continues.